Now boarding for Rebuild of Joycast, your weekly destination for anime, manga, and more.
Welcome back, everyone, to Joycast. I think this is the first time in a long while where we just don't got any news, or there's no controversy, there's no deaths, there's no shutdowns. I think this is just two white dudes talking about manga for once in a long time. Where do you want to start, Val? Just My Piece or My Hero?
My Hero, I guess. My Hero.
My Hero? We just read it.
Wait. Well, there is drama to talk about.
There is drama to talk about? Oh, God.
Yeah,
no.
Man. Loads of people are like, okay, so apparently a bunch of people basically shitting on Akira Toriyama because of, like, the vaguely racist stereotypical characters that he
opportunists,
drew in the day.
I would not even entertain to give them time of day. We've all know where that comes from.
It's all just people trying to, like, you know, make, you know, put their little line in the sand and everything and be like,
congrats.
Look,
we've known this since we were fucking tots. We've known this is bad. Guess what? Product of a different time, and it goes so much deeper than that. Not just him, it's Japan entirely. How
like
they
Mr.
view
Popo.
Things. You want to evoke Mr. Popo's name?
I like Mr. Popo.
It is a racist character, but it's also so much more. It's also a reference to a fucking Hindu time god. Like, we could talk all day about that, but that is such old news being dredged
up.
He's just
a nice genie, man.
Yeah, old news. We know. Everyone knows, okay? Like, that's not what his death is about, okay?
Yeah, it's just these fucking people.
His influence.
It's just these fucking Puritans, basically.
The power of his influence that extended out, and no one picked up that shit from him, for the most part. So, yeah, a testament to how readers could divide that stuff up and know what was acceptable and what wasn't. And move on from it, because his newer designs sure as fuck moved on from that shit.
Yeah, they got worse, though.
Super's design,
and in my opinion,
yeah, on an artistic
stuff,
level,
he
yes.
decided that, like, no, everyone's skinny now and stuff, and it really made a lot of characters stand out way.
Yeah,
less.
Yeah, the silhouettes suck, is what you're saying. Yeah, on a principle level, to me, that's just a matter of this man has
simplifying.
A very specific. It's the same vein of Oda only designs like three women. Types and they're all the same character. That's just what it is with Toriyama. Like the man's been in the business for such a long time. He's got nothing new to say. Well, he won't have anything new to say design wise because he's no longer with us.
No.
But yeah, no, that's
probably
news.
No. There's gonna be sketch. I guarantee there'll be some fucking sketches that like the company like go, ah, let's use this. This is cool, and he never used it for anything.
That's true.
Yeah, we're probably going
and
to get
also Sandlands.
Massive...
Has Sandlands come out yet, the movie?
No. The game, you mean.
Are they making a movie as well?
They're making a movie as well?
Oh, there's going to be a movie, and it's going to be huge now.
I mean, probably.
So
I
huge,
thought was...
they're going to think this was an assassination on Toei's part.
Are you
money.
Sure it's a movie as well? Because I could have swore they were only making a game.
I know there's a game,
I'm looking
too.
This up. Is based on Sandland the manga... Original net animation? Oh god, they're making a fucking series of it.
Yes.
Yeah, apparently the film came out last year. I didn't even know a film came out last year.
Oh, so it still hasn't been state-bound yet.
No. And then the game is coming out sometime this year, I believe. Literally next month. Which, it looks cool. It will probably be just okay. Like most big budget anime games are. There's usually like a lot of room that those developers leave because they don't have to try very hard. Like, did you play
if
One Piece
licensed anime? Well,
World
the fact Seeker? That Sam, the fact that the game came out before the series, that means they probably did have to try a bit. You know.
I mean,
versus like, let's that, like,
you
I,
know what?
I,
maybe
I cause
it's
about.
Not as though Sandland is a big fucking franchise. It had one volume in the year 2000, and.
Okay, so it was pre-existing.
Yeah, it was a manga. It had one volume in
the
year 2000.
Okay, no, the game probably is crap. Like I said, licensed anime games are just cheap cashes.
Well, I don't know, because it's not as if it's anything popular, but it is Akira Toriyama. I mean, I was happy when I got the announcement for Sandland come up on my frickin' algorithm or whatever, because it's a Akira Toriyama-based game that's not Dragon Ball, thank fuck. That sounds cool.
But yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah, yeah, it's coming out next month. It'll probably be okay. I might check it out because I'm always a bit more interested when an anime game is trying to be, like, more than a fighter, more than just, brawler of some kind. That's all they do nowadays, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. But so the fact that it's not just that, not a brawler, they're trying to do something different, that's good. But, my God, no better tailwind than the death of your freaking creator.
No doubt.
More eyes than before are going to be on it, so I hope they're ready. I hope they made something.
When I played One Piece, which I think it might be the same people. Let's look at the
Odyssey,
developer.
The one with
they made Odyssey. It's the same people that did Odyssey. And I hear people liked Odyssey, but I also heard the game was, quite frankly, way too easy.
Good game cash-in. Like, they had some mechanics, but they didn't curate its challenge, you know? Even when they're trying their hardest, those licensed games, something gets lost because they're always rushed. The producers always rush them. They just...
Because I really liked One Piece World Seeker. I thought it was a pretty solid game. It was lacking in places. Like, when you initially open up that game, Luffy feels like utter crap to control. But then you start leveling him up, and it's that usual thing where... You know when you're playing a first-person shooter, or just a game with shooting, and they decide, hey, let's make aiming a stat, and intentionally make the aiming really crappy or something. It feels like that at first, and then
we know this a couple times. Sonic fans says, why can't Sonic just be fast when they add skill tree elements and power-ups with Sonic game? It's like, nah, just let him operate right off the bat, dude.
He just wasn't built for that sort of gameplay. Like, I get it, the obsession with adding these new modern gameplay
Secret
elements
Rings
that
is
people
the biggest,
really like.
Culprit of that.
You know, Secret Rings is my video gaming guilty pleasure.
Oh, I love it too. I mean, I love it too.
Yeah, I always say to people, like, Sonic literally saves, like, a woman from an abusive relationship. That's what that comes down to.
It was just some of the most inventive levels in a Sonic modern game. Like, to this day, we're still repeating and reusing assets on Green Hill. And friggin' Secret Rings had the balls to take... like stories in the 1001 Nights, like, dude, like it was awesome. That game cracked.
It's really some of the level.
But again,
design
it does have the issue of okay, Sonic's gonna walk at a snail's pace to start, and then you level him up.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, could I speed up just a little bit, please?
It was the controls. It's the controls that are the real problem.
I like the controls. So
shit.
as again, I was the right demographic at that time. I was in middle high school at that time, and with holding the Wiimote like a tilt, like a steering wheel. I honestly think at the time when Sonic was having issues, it was like, ooh, putting a Sonic on rails, kind of a galaxy-brained idea.
Honestly, I do agree with you. Like, I've never had that bad of a time with Wii controls. Even when people were like, Skyward Sword is crap because of the Wii controls, I was like,
Wii controls you mean by when they're innovative versus, or innovative, intuitive versus... You're just wagging the remote, and that's the action. Just wagging around, yeah, there's a problem with that. And that happened towards the Wii's later years when people just didn't want to innovate anymore. They just wanted to sell on the most popular console.
True. I mean, I still think Skyward Sword is a pretty good game. But anyway, you know how they re-released Sonic... I didn't play it. Sonic Colors recently?
They did a re-release or remake or whatever. I don't know. I know it had issues.
It's a bit ridiculous that they're re-releasing stuff like that when it's like tilt axis controls and all that have come such a long way with the Switch and everything.
Oh yeah, no one wants to do it. No one bothers anymore. Like that's probably like the Switch's biggest failure. Even though it's not Nintendo's fault. What kind of
is it? Yeah, no, it's
fault?
Not. Everyone is just like, it has a joystick and buttons. We don't give a shit.
Those freaking, they're on my desk right now. The Joy-Cons, despite their issues with drift, take drift out of the picture. The motion controls and they're very intricate. They're very advanced, but no one ever really took full advantage of them. No one bothered.
Yeah, it'll be like
they would be so much cheaper
aiming.
If they weren't so intricate.
They'll be like, we'll do gyroscope for aiming, maybe, if we feel like it.
Like, they did, but... like, Nintendo finally got tired and finally did a WarioWare game at the very end, at the finish line here. and then they're like, Yeah, that didn't justify an $80 freaking controller, dude.
No, no. The
they would be honestly, half the price if they didn't have that freaking gyroscope that hardly any other game used.
It's so true. Honestly, I will buy a Switch 2 the instant that they announce
it. I will.
Like,
this is the first time I will probably pre-order this console.
Oh, same. Dude, I pre-ordered
the Switch. I told you I would never do that, but again, there's only one company, one game console, one set of games that justifies its existence, and they're Nintendo ones.
I mean, especially I could be
walking face first into a Wii situation again. This could be Wii U all over again, but
you
it's
had a Wii
worth
U?
The gamble.
I got a Wii U too. I love that thing. Like, it sucked that they abandoned it so quickly and no one wanted to make games on it, but there was some... Like, dude, Nintendo
the Wii U
Land
had
rocked.
The Wii U had the best games. The Switch's best
ones.
Games were from the Wii U. Let's be honest.
They were. I mean, you know what? I'm still sad that they haven't done Xenoblade Chronicles X on the Switch, because I really liked that game. But, you know, I've been liking Xenoblade since the original Chronicles came out. Sorry, I just had that thought of, oh, God, I hope I get into a Xenoblade Chronicle game one day.
One day.
The bread and butter of English voice actors, but you know, we'll see how that goes for me one day. Anyway,
Now that's a fruitful franchise, now that Monolith is like cemented as Nintendo's golden child,
actually
like they get a lot of goodwill. They can make as many Xenoblades as they want, Nintendo, as long as they keep backing up the other studios.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And they seem to be very comfortable doing so. They back up a lot of games and they make their own Xenoblades while they're at it. So it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time.
I fucking love Monolith Soft. They are so good. Did you play the original
Xenoblade? Again, they're the darlings. Like, they do their job, man.
Did you play the original Xenoblade?
I have not played a single Xenoblade. It's not for me, but I appreciate... I'm an appreciator.
That's fair, that's fair. Honestly, if you were going to play one, I would definitely
appreciate from a distance.
I definitely recommend the original Xenoblade Chronicles. It has that... It didn't quite go into the anime aspect of it, and you know, me and you, speaking as two guys that love anime, sometimes we like to get away from it a bit. And when like the original, like my friend Jax Animations, as always mentioned but never seen, I remember when Xenoblade Chronicles Remake came out a couple years back, or however long that was, the remaster that they did, and they went full on anime with the aesthetic, because that's the aesthetic that they went with for newer games. He was so like, man, it just ruins the whole aesthetic. I don't like it. I'm so pissed off. And I was always a bit like, you know, get over it. It's fine. Looks good. I'm like looking at them side by side more recently because I own the original Wii version. I'm like, no, I kind of get it. Do you get that like nostalgia for like PS2 looking ass games?
Well, so for me, because I was not a PlayStation guy, I was always I was a Sega Genesis straight to a GameCube, So, but I was talking to Ivan Man about this. We record a Let's Play series that we're stocking up on right now, and we just talked about just our adoration for the Dreamcast aesthetic, that classical Sega music. You know, Sega music's so good.
Oh yeah, no, they got
the
right
people. They had this, their own wacky, risky style, and like I have a nostalgia for that.
Nah, I didn't grow up with a Dreamcast, sadly. I remember going to a friend's house, and for some reason, we went over to his cousin's. For some reason, I can't remember what the whole deal was, but I think I was just getting moved around from house to house for a little bit. And I'm like, why? And they had a Sega Dreamcast, and I remember watching them play Sonic Adventure and being so fucking blown away by the graphics, the aesthetic, the UI. You know, that is something that all consoles are missing nowadays. Good, fun UI that give the console, like, a personality, something to remember.
Your sentiments are shared by, like, 99% of everyone. The Switch, the console itself had the personality, but the UI did not.
So
like,
lacking.
And just think about the Wii. We just talked about the Wii. Think about the Wii right now and that echoey freaking, you know what I mean? Like, what's the term?
Fuck. No, it had like the reverb when you like pressed any button.
Just the
dude. It did echo.
Yeah, it just very white, clean.
It felt
reverb.
Like there was space. Didn't
yeah.
it? Like,
it was Wii was so ethereal.
Ethereal, yeah.
It was
that's
such
great
an
word
age, man. And the Switch, all the Switch had was the pluckiness, the snap of the fingers and the color, but like, that's just no different than the minimalism we see everywhere now. Like, it wasn't distinct enough.
Yeah. The eStore fucking sucks, too. Do you remember? So, as someone who owned a Wii U, you must have transferred the
data. I did not have a Wii U.
Oh, you didn't? Okay, okay. So, on the Wii U, I wanted to move my data from my Wii to my Wii U. And when you do that, there is this amazing animation that you get of Pikmin moving the data through, like, the cyberspace. And they'll have all the data of your individual games. You can, like, see the pictures of it and everything. It's like, oh, Mario Galaxy's there. There's Pikmin 2 or something like that. And they are moving it through the cyberspace into the Wii U. And it changes the environment when they make the arrival to the Wii U and everything. And it's like, oh my fucking god. They, like, put so much effort into this transfer animation. I'm actually going to send it you now. You won't be able to see it and stuff, but, like, it's impressive. And the most reminiscent and cool thing that I think they did with it, and that's right, it reminds me of on the PS2, so as someone who didn't own a PS2, but you may have heard of it, when you went into your memory card on the PS2, they would design personalized data images.
GameCube did that.
Yes, they did, didn't they? Yeah. Yep.
And yeah, and I don't call on PlayStation, because I had friends with PlayStations, and they go through their data.
Do you want to know something, though? This sounds silly. I thought that the GameCube's data reading area was kind of creepy. I didn't like it when I would, like, end up in there, I guess.
GameCube? So the GameCube The GameCube was intentionally a little spooky. Again, very distinct. Whereas the Wii was the white, the light. The GameCube was very dark, very chromatic, very shiny.
Man, I miss old consoles, honestly. Oh, God, I can't. I'm looking forward to the new generation consoles, because, I mean, I'm kind of not, because
I'm looking forward to my anticipation of them in the hopes that they'll be, you know, have more character this time, but they won't.
No. It's like, you know what I think it is? I think it's because the market is actually... I think it's because the market actually isn't about children anymore. People don't look at video games anymore and
people
think,
don't look at
this
most stuff anymore for kids. I've said this. I said this. So I turned to my wife and I said this during freaking Barbie. When after it was over, I just turned. I'm like, nothing is made for just kids anymore.
No.
Nothing. They're made
because
for
kids
adults.
Don't have
they're
money.
Made for
kids
adult
don't have
children.
Money. Yeah. But kids don't have money, and quite frankly, people
are
less and less.
They have their parents' credit cards, but still.
People are less and less enthused as the generations go by about having kids, and now it's just about constant self-satisfactory.
Yes.
Like, we're part of that generation where we're probably like, even I, and maybe even you to some degree, are like, I never had money for this when I was a kid, or I could never dream about doing this whenever I'm a kid.
That's why I have a Dreamcast right now, baby.
Yeah, I was literally about to bring up your Dreamcast.
My Dreamcast, my Dreamcast that I've wanted since I was like 10 years old and just could not get one. Like I said, I went from a hand-me-down Sega Genesis to a GameCube. Like, there was a gap, all right? That was my jump to modern gaming at the time.
I had a PS2, my brother.
So
no,
you see why I'm so... like mad about how each new console needs to have a huge jump to it, because again, I didn't get a Wii U. I got a Wii, and then the next Nintendo console I got was the Switch. So you feel that jump.
Like, it's sad. The state of the game. We talked about this the other week.
Yeah, no,
the state of the game industry is just fucking sad, to be honest.
It's,
like,
it's,
between
it's
the degradation of it, and even now that we've brought it up. It's not even made for fucking kids anymore. And it's like taken away an
it
aspect
should.
Of
it, like,
personality.
It legitimately games would be better if they were more geared towards children. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I say children, again, to children, not adult children. Because adults can find fun in what children make, but children struggle a bit with what adults have, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It must absolutely suck to be a kid these days. Because nothing is, like, most shit is not catered to you. We grew up Bluff Val. We're 90s kids, right?
Yeah.
We are the consequence of the 80s, all right? Where it's like, "Oh, kids are special. Kids do have rights. You better pay attention to kids or the child services are going to take your kids away, okay? So start being a little extra special towards them." We got lucky. We were spoiled.
We were
culturally we were spoiled.
My mom was all like, no, I can't leave you in the house alone. You're like 7 years old. You're either
I was still
with me
left alone,
personal
but...
time. I don't know, man. I know lots of
I was
fucking...
taught to be responsible.
You know, I am friends with a lot of people who have worked in schools most recently. And the sad thing is that the new generation of parents, sadly, aren't that interested in raising their kids or
They're
teaching
not,
their kids
it's
anything.
It's a mix of not interested and also a lot of them don't have the fucking time because now everyone has to do three jobs to make their bag. It's fucking sad.
I mean,
sad.
Yeah, but it's also
fucking
like,
sad. There's no time.
I am meeting people who are like, yeah, these kids who are in like fourth or fifth grade don't know how to wipe their asses or anything.
Oh yeah, no, I wouldn't doubt it. I would not doubt it.
Yeah, and it's fucking sad because you know what? People do, I'm sure you see it, you know, the iPad kids or something, you know, parents walking around, moving their kid around in the stroller, and it's just this child in like a onesie just scrolling the internet or something on an iPad, doesn't look up from it or anything. It's sad. Like, I think you and I, late 90s kids, early 2000s kids, at least had that nice balance of, yeah, you had the technology. Computers were an interesting thing. The internet was new and not something.
You said it once upon a time that everything had its space. Because
yes.
We had that equivalent. We had Game Boys. We had PC computers. We had VHS tapes. Like
We had an hour of portable gaming
experience. We were
Disney White
VHS babies. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's just like, but those things had their time and place. We could take the Game Boy wherever we wanted to, but the Game Boy only has so much battery life, and then we must rejoin life, and mom and dad has to pay attention.
You know, I took my Switch out with me and my mate a while ago, and we like played Mario Kart in the car on like a rainy day. It like came pouring down, and we're like, you want to just stop somewhere nice and play Mario Kart? He's like, hell yeah. And he was like, what was that? I'm like, what? That was like 2 hours. What was that? And I'm like, what do you mean it was only like 2 hours? 2 hours is a lot of time to be able to play a game on the move or just outside in a space. And he's like, but isn't it like the Switch's whole thing? Because he doesn't have a Switch. He has a PC and an Xbox or something like that. And I'm like, but it's a nice amount of time. It's not something that's supposed to envelop you while you are out and about. It's something to do while you're riding the bus for 30 minutes. Or, you know, you've got a fucking lunch break at work or something. Screw it, grind on Zelda or whatever. And it's like, I don't know, there is this whole idea of like things need to just be able to be wherever the fuck you want them and work like long periods of time. It's like, no, some things you just need in little doses because you got shit to do, especially as an adult, right?
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
This was a fun little conversation.
I think that's enough boomer cast, though, my guy.
This was fun. I liked that.
Yes,
this.
Yes, it was fun.
There's nothing going on,
we
always...
promise in the first minute that we talk about My Hero Academia, how about we get to it?
Sure thing. Anyway,
so
we're
at chapter 417.
Yeah, that's the one, and we introduce the chapter with this big blast as Izuka Midoriya, like a ball of light, goes crashing into a big old cluster of fingy wingies.
It's so cool. It's great imagery.
And everyone's
never
just like,
"My Hero Academia isn't original because you wouldn't see this anywhere."
No, you wouldn't. And everyone is like, "What the hell is going on? What am I looking at?"
Also, Shigaraki is absolutely soy jacking in there. Look at his face. I have a small bit of beef with this chapter. It's a great chapter, mind you.
He's still cooking, baking even.
But I have a little bit of beef that this is a bit of a retcon of and they bring up that fight where it's a retcon, but a couple chapters ago I complimented Deku for calling Shigaraki his shit. The fact that there was something interesting in the fact that Shigaraki was not remotely interested in Nana Shimura. Like, yo, you're not relevant to my story. Fuck you. How dare you blame yourself and make yourself feel like holier than thou or something. Like, oh my god, poor little thing. Like, you had nothing to do with my origin. And here we're bringing it back like she was. Like, she's at this house. Like, oh my gosh, Shigaraki, it's all my fault. Dude, it's your fucking son's fault. And yeah, you abandoned your son, but you abandoned your son to fight, like, Super Hitler? Like, you had to do that? Like, you had your duty to do so? And your son is lacking some emotional regulation skills with his children? Like, that's not all on you? But it's still a powerful chapter, and I'm glad that in some way she does get to have this,
Look, I mean, look, it's like, a mother is always probably a good mother is probably always going to feel, like, responsible for
exactly,
the
exactly. Like, the emotion
and
is reasonable.
Problems with their children, always. Like, and plus, this is, like, literally the first thing Nana is hearing about any of this. Like, so...
That, you know, that's true.
I really like this. This is the first time she is seeing this, and it is reeling. I love it. When it's like, it's not because he hates me, and thinking on it, it's like, oh, God, it's because I've been wanting to avoid this entire time.
Well, I mean, she doesn't say that. No, she says she doesn't
care. No, she said, this is my weakness. This is my weakness. She is afraid, and that is why she didn't get absorbed into him, because she has been afraid
of confronting what has
driven her grandson to this.
She doesn't want to see the consequences of her heroism.
She doesn't know. She doesn't know the consequences.
She doesn't know the specifics. She knows there were, but as you said, she was always afraid to confront it, and now she has to do it.
This is a woman going in and, like, not knowing what the fuck to expect. Like, she has an inkling. She's like, oh, man,
like,
I abandoned my
son. The last time she saw her
son,
he was just a crying little boy. And now she's like, oh, look at this. He's beating the shit out of a kid.
Yeah, exactly. But it's the fact that she doesn't know how this went. All she knows is that Shigaraki is now the apprentice and or, like, host for All for One. And... who would want to see that as well? Like, her mind, it could be anything that she could be going into right now.
Yeah.
And that would be fucking hard to see. Like, her son is going to die in front of her? She is going to witness her son get, like, murdered by his own son. This is going to utterly... I think...
He might prevent it right here, though. That Deku's interfering with his origin right now.
I don't think he will.
I'd be remiss if I did not mention Strike his origin... is so fucking funny. You know how much I love that term in this series, how origin is used.
Yeah.
Strike him at his origin. It's so fucking cool.
Like,
it's so fucking hammy. I love it.
I'm still just happy that I'm basically right about the Digimon allegory, where it's like, you know, you have to go inside and, like, fucking cut it out or something.
Oh, it's exactly like the Digimon movie. You're so real for that.
But this is way cooler than the Digimon movie as well.
Jury's still out.
Yeah.
Also, I like the dark, twisted Deku that approaches him at the door. Just a peek at Horikoshi's dark, twisted mind.
This is how he sees me.
Just a little peek at how dark and twisted and edgy and cool Horikoshi is. You know, like I drew a more fucked up Deku. As if there wasn't a whole arc dedicated to that already. Like, I looked at that, I'm like, I laughed my ass off. I'm like, get real, come on.
You're right, Ivan, because, like, the man could do a way better fucked up Deku if he wanted.
Yeah, but again, it saves it. I had a little issue with the retcon with Nana, but then as you described, it saves itself, and this moment with the dark Deku also saves itself about how fucking cringy and hammy it is, how funny it is, because the Deku goes, die, and Deku goes, sorry for the intrusion. That is such a great characterized rebuttal. I love it. He's such a nerd.
He almost gets
isekai'd.
He has always been at his core a polite little man.
Yes, but the fact that he says it with such, like, vigor here is...
No, I mean, yeah, no, it's such good shit. It is good shit. No, I am loving the emotional turmoil that Nana is going through right now. And it drives it all the more home, where it's like, oh my god, my son turned into a fucking abuser, and she obviously feels responsible for it. It's not her fault, like we said.
Any good mother would feel that way, though, so that's
exactly
correct.
Any good mother would feel that way, but sadly, any good mother... shouldn't have to feel that way all the time.
But otherwise, then we get a peek at Redestro and Overhaul, because we have
yeah,
to meet
I like
these guys.
That.
I'm happy to see them, but again, what did they have to do with Deku?
Redestro.
Then again,
I guess these are
the guys who are speaking to Shiggy.
Yes, yeah, I was about
Deku's kind of getting the things that they told Shigaraki. Because, I mean, what burdens do you bear What do you seek to build? Yeah, I guess he never really said that directly to Shigaraki, but I guess that was thematically what was going on with that fight.
Yeah, no, it was literally why I was like...
Deku seeing Shigaraki's villains, honestly. Let's be real.
It is literally why I was like,
Shigaraki has a better rogues gallery than Deku does. This is so sad.
No, he doesn't. He has the same rogues gallery.
Deku has never met Redestro. What are you talking about?
He hasn't, which is why I was literally about... But then
the consequences of Redestro. He's seen a lot of support weapons.
But then we just get Chisaki. Is it Chisaki?
It's Chisaki overhaul.
Yeah. Man, he never came back in, did he?
He never got. That's the part that's bugging me. That's the loose end that I need to see. I need to see him reunite with the boss or talk to Aerie or whatever. That's the thing I'm afraid we're not gonna get. It's gonna get.
I feel like that is just the fate that he kind of deserves. He doesn't really deserve to be able to apologize to the people that he's let down.
Yeah, but a lot of people aren't getting what they deserve in the series. I feel like he's still due for it.
He's been
showing some great character economy at the finish line here. I think he do.
Has
still.
He? I thought he was basically just fucking like.
No, he's been cleaning. He's been cleaning house. Like we didn't have to see those guys get scraped off the pavement at the end there. Was that last issue where we were just kind of taking a peek at everyone getting scraped off the shovel? Like we didn't need to see that. And he continues to see it. That's what we were talking about before the podcast started recording. Is the fact that Horikoshi, in spite of his apparent health issues right now, is really taking his time, and I'm getting very worried. I'm very happy, like, what's being shown on paper is great, but I'm worried about the man who's drawing on the paper. I'm still very concerned, especially with Toriyama's brain bleed that has not been given a reason yet. People have assumed that maybe he had an accident, but this seems like a stress-related one.
Yeah, isn't a brain bleed also how Berserk man died?
Oh, no, he had an aneurysm, an aortic aneurysm. Like, he had, something in his freaking arteries freaking burst, which is definitely a stress-related injury that can be fatal.
Fair. It's, also, the art in this chapter is pretty fucking tops. Like, they reuse
what
some
else is new? What
parts.
Else is Water's Wet? Horikoshi's art is the best thing about the series from start to finish.
Yeah, I really like that Deku almost gets truck-cooned. Yeah. That's fun. I like that a lot.
He did that joke on purpose.
No. What else was there? Fuck. Stain shows up. I guess I do actually... No, Shigaraki's rogue gallery. Why isn't Stars and Stripes here, actually? It feels like...
She's been peeking in and out. She talked to the Vestiges. Stars and Stripes was kind of like not like it, it's so strange. It's because she wasn't like a narrative, like a thematic adversary for Shigaraki. Again, you see Stain.
Technically, she
overhaul,
wasn't even a Shigaraki.
Redestro. These are guys
actually.
Who attack Shigaraki based on ideas. Stars and Stripes didn't really attack him on a battle of ideas. That was just two meatheads smacking each other around in a fun way.
Yeah, if anything, she was just fighting like a fucking fusion of Shigaraki and
she was fighting
Awful
peak
One
Shigaraki, those peak power Shigaraki, and then cut him down so that he'd be approachable for the finale. Because it's one of the first. I mean, I'm sure it's not the first time, but it's a very now famous example of power nerfing in the middle of a series where he went, "Oh, he's a little too powerful. We got to cut back."
Yeah. I mean, I remember we were worried when, God, we were doing that like 2 years ago, was that now?
Oh, it's more than 2 years now. 2 years ago, we said the series was ending.
God, man, this has been... I mean, literally before this podcast started, I was like, yeah, I think My Hero's only got 2 to 3 chapters, and then I actually read it, and I was like, oh, yeah. And then obviously we bring up Chisaki, and then it's like, where the hell are Eraserhead
and
Eraserhead?
Yeah, Eraserhead is the most notable
stuff.
Absentee, again, when they were scraping everyone off the pavement. We didn't see him, so that's what left. He was mentioned, though. They mentioned that he was missing, so they're definitely going
to
bring him up.
I have to give My Hero Academia this. When I am reading it in the moment, I am, like, forgetting about everything else because I'm so enthralled lately with what is going on.
Yes, it's been one of the most moment-to-moment reads, for sure.
Yeah, like, I just forget everything else that's going on. But then again, I don't blame myself for forgetting everything that's going on because it feels like... I mean, yeah, literally, the Spinner, the Shadow guy, I can't even remember his goddamn name, Eraserhead Mike disappeared literally last year. And we just have not heard.
Maybe it might be more than that. I don't know. But yeah, it's like, again, a lot. It's for the past, I'd say, about at least half a year now, it has been strictly Deku versus Shigaraki.
Yeah.
Like, he's just taking his time with this.
Well, no, because we also had stuff like the flashback of All for One.
Which, that is
as
true.
We both agree, is pretty fucking peak.
Bakugo versus All for One.
Baby,
I think that's been our only break
baby.
In this.
Yeah, Bakugo versus All for Baby. That's all I can think of right now. No, it's been solid. It makes me forget everything that's going on. And, man, we're so goddamn close. And it's been... And you know what? It went mid, and now it's been good. It's just been good for a while.
It's been so good. So after that, you want to talk about One Piece 1110?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. When I saw this panel... Of all the freaking, what do they call the Gorosei?
The Gorosei, the five.
I got
elders.
Like lightheaded, like oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, no, it's great.
So
it
we always talked about
awesome.
Like how oh my gosh, Luffy's now like Gear 5. Like how do we make the stakes feel high with Gear 5 still around? Well, here it is. Let's throw the five elder planets at him. Holy hell.
I got really excited. Like when it was called Planetfall, I was like, "Oh my god, this is actually gonna be so fucking." I saw bits of raw information that people were saying. They're all like, "Oh, this guy, and this guy does this," and I was like, "You know, there's this weird thing where One Piece fans have this tendency to just say shit, just say it, and it doesn't actually mean anything. A lot of it is usually just presumption on their end." Of how things are going to go, and so when I see things or hear people talk about them, I'm like, maybe this is just bullshit. But no, it was all true, and this chapter fucking rocked. This has been probably one of the most hype reveals for characters that have just been sat in the background for now literally like tens of years. Like, for 25 plus years, these guys have been sat in the background.
The patience for Oda, man.
Mm-hmm. Not done fuck all. My friend, again, Jack's Animation, recently started watching One Piece after, like, talking shit on it or being like, why do you watch it? Why do you read it? It's too long. I don't care about it. I don't like it. He's literally gotten to the goddamn new world now. And I was like, and he was asking me about Chainsaw Man the other day. I know we said we wouldn't bring it up, but I said to him, you know what's nice about One Piece, and now that you've actually read it for a while, or watched it for a while, you can probably understand now, as long as it is, there is consistent payoff. Even in the low points, you know there is going to be a payoff. This is a major fucking payoff. And the longer you're with it, the more satisfying it is. This has been so fucking cool. This has been better than Garp's fight. This is better, in my opinion, than... God, I can't think... Like, now, Dorian Broggy coming back is actually really fucking hype. This chapter rocks, and I can't wait for next week.
I think the
week.
Giants coming back has been the hypest thing for me.
It's been sick. The Giant, when we get to Elbaf, Ivan, that is when it will be absolutely...
Here's the thing. I don't think we're going to Elbaf. I think Elbaf has been brought to us.
We have to go to Elbaf, baby.
Why? To scrape Loki. Off Kid from the pavement? What's
yes,
there?
And
Elbaf has
Loki,
come to us. We don't have to go now.
Big Mom Origins, because she was supposed to marry...
Strike her at her origin?
The giant guy? No. It was Big Mom's daughter. God damn it. Lola. Lola was supposed to marry the Prince of Giants. So there's gonna be some shit there I'm looking forward to. Plus Usopp will get everything. He'll get a devil fruit. He'll I don't know. He'll get something. I don't think any character is ever gonna like get a devil fruit near the end of the series.
Not a series like One Piece. Nope.
Yeah. I don't think Frankie is going to eat the goddamn, I don't know, kid's magnet no me or something like that. At the very end of the series, or anything like that.
No,
as
but
cool
if their whole shtick hasn't been by having gum fruit, they're just not. Oda seems more interested in evolving, even though it's been a very long time since we've had like a major power up for the Straw Hat crew. I still feel like he's more interested in everyone having a unique thing to offer that isn't just gum gum fruit.
Yeah, I mean, it's a worry that one day he's going to like turn around and be like, well, Nika can do anything you see, so
he's had tons of power systems at play, and he seems to be balancing them out.
True, I mean, it could go like Naruto ways, where like, you know, Naruto shares his chakra with everyone, and now they all get a big, long, gold, flowing coat, and Luffy's like, oh, I'll give
like
you all
Sonic
a little
Heroes.
Bit of... I'll give you... literally, yes. I'll give you all a little bit of my little cloud
You get
thing.
A little gold orb that you have to be in, because we have time to model supermodels for Knuckles and Tails.
Ah, Sonic Heroes rocked, actually. Like, flawed game, but overall, I played the shit out of it. I loved that game. Sonic keeps coming up in conversations with me and friends.
Maybe it's Sonic Cast. Who knows?
But yeah, the Gorosei look awesome. We have I'll go through it, like, because you know, they've got it right there. We've got Saint J. Garcia Saturn as the Gyuki, the Itsumade, a large bird with a humanoid face, although Oda seems to have not bothered with the humanoid face part. Saint Marcus Mars, the Hoki, a giant flaming boar, is Saint Topman Warcry, and Saint Ethanbaran V. Nusturo, who, this is where I'm like, people just say shit about One Piece. It's like, oh, this guy is actually the former emperor of Wano before the frickin' Odin family and shit. And I'm like, I don't think that information is anywhere, and that is just a major assumption. And then they're like, and this is the final guy that Zoro has to beat. No, I do not.
I'm gonna
think...
say Zoro fans gotta keep themselves busy, dude.
Ah, oh, dude, I know, but it's almost sad.
Another thing I've spoke on many times in the past, that Zoro fans are so fucking funny. Mm. I should...
Like, once again...
Zoro scalers.
Once again, like, you know, we just... It's annoying because I... Oh, yeah, also the sandworm. Just the sandworm is Saint Shepherd Jew Peter.
I like how it's like, oh wow, it's like the Chinese zodiac, but then there's just a freaking dune worm here. It's like, okay. Oda's just doing whatever he feels like.
Mm-mm. And these guys look sick in combat as well. You've got Nujiro just coming in, like, slicing up pacifistas, freezing them. Apparently, he freezes their circuits. Really great use of size, in my opinion, as well. Like, the scaling in this.
Well, I was about to say, when the chapter first starts, I was complaining about the sketchiness of it, because, you know, Oda has that sketchy stuff he does. I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah.
All right, have we approached that week when Jump just does sketch pages as a little bit?
I mean, we were seeing it the other week with Jujutsu Kaisen, I know.
But yeah, so it's like, oh my gosh, what the hell's going on? But then you get the girls say all in their forms, like, oh god, no, he's working. He's putting in his hours.
It looks sick. I have been so excited for this chapter of One Piece, honestly. And Egghead is really shaping up to be such a game changer in the series.
Oh, it is. Like, it's just been great from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
It got a little clunky when people were getting separated.
No, yeah.
When Egghead was trapped in the in that room. Mm-hmm. In that little prison, that's when things got a little shaky, but besides that, this has been a fantastic arc.
I still complain and think about the flashback arc where it was just elsewhere, earlier, later? I don't, because they did the whole thing where it's
they did get, when they were jumping around, it did get really confusing.
It was confusing because they were like, what was the Egghead incident?
And we couldn't tell what time it was, and I think we still don't quite understand.
We don't know. Like, is Garp all fucked up yet? No? Yes? Is Kobe, like, free at this stage? Or is that later? I don't know. Honestly, I feel a lot like a lot of that might have actually been Oda just trying to figure some stuff out, maybe. And my god, was it... It feels like it was worth it. Like, I don't know. I was looking at some... In the aftermath of Akira Toriyama's death, rest in peace, man, I have been looking up so much about him and reading about, like, you know, his progress as, like, just a mangaka, and it really makes me realize this industry the mangaka industry is so much about adapting to the reader's wants and needs and just going like, oh, well, fuck my idea. Like, Vegeta's supposed to be dead. He was supposed to just die. And then it's like, oh, people love him so much, gotta bring him back. Changes the entire freaking story. Or it's like, man needed to stall for time so that he could, like, better highlight and make an arc. Just that, give it that little bit of polish. I feel like Egghead absolutely got that in fucking spades, and I am loving it. I know the other week, I was feeling a bit weird the other week. I was all like, oh yeah, I feel like the Straw Hats need to separate one more time. I still wouldn't mind it if Luffy, at the very least, got some time on his own for a little bit, because at some point, we're gonna get it. We are going to get that moment of true introspection from Luffy at some point and get a gander into like that little fucking head of his, and I can't wait for that day. At least I hope it does. But I guess all else I have to say is about this is Zoro fans got their wish. There was no real struggle. It was just Sanji insults him and it's like, well, gotta do my fucking badass thing that I always do, and nothing goddamn happened. I don't know if the fight's over with Lucci. Is Jupiter dead already? Probably not.
No, I bet he regenerates. He's a worm. He's gonna regenerate.
He's a big old goddamn worm.
I'm gonna say that this would be a little unceremonious, as cool as the shot is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little unceremonious for a Gorosei, you know?
Yeah, but it's also Dory and Broggian. They are literally like, even though I believe
they are so
wholeheartedly,
cool.
I believe wholeheartedly that Haki, in the form that we have it now, was just made up by Oda when he was like, shit, I want to do some really weird powers, but there's no way I can even pull some shit out of my ass to make it so that Luffy can beat them. I mean, I'm pissed off about the light gauntlets not being used on Kizaru, honestly. I was just like, oh yeah, he can mess with holograms. And that's not even a goddamn thing.
Well, it wasn't. I brought that up when they revealed those lights, where it wasn't about the gloves being used to fight him. It was the fact that, I mean, yeah, you could put that in the hands of someone else to fight, but it was all about,
yeah,
because they bring a perception of that you can break through barriers based on your perception of things. They talked around the gloves with that, and to me that was okay. This is how we explain how Luffy can interact with Kizaru in his Gear 5 form, the way he breaks reality.
Yeah, which is super fucking cool. But I still remember being like, oh, are we going like back to...
It was just a fun characterized dialogue way of explaining that, because people need explanations for things like that.
Yeah, but it
also helps that, hey, you know, we could equip Sanji or Zoro with some light freaking the same material to fight him if need be.
True. I guess I am a sucker for old piece.
Or we could just be romantic, you know?
You can just chalk it up to romance. Boop, bah, fooey. Stupid fucking
genetics afterwards. Before, after.
Like I said, I still think it comes down to the only people that really give a shit about genetics are people that aren't very good people.
Zoro fans. not bad people. I mean, the only people that give a fuck about that stuff is Zoro fans, because he's the lost son of Wano. Yada yada. Da. More copium.
King of Hell. God, I don't even know what the fuck
it's else. So funny, because they're harmless. They're not like Goku fans. Like, no one's trying to shoot up a freaking Capitol building over Zoro. You know, they're in their own little world, and we just watch them. It's like watching, like, two gorillas fight in a zoo. they fight each other. It's fun.
Ah, Jack's animation made me so happy the other day, because I was like, dude, you've gotten so far, and you've pretty much met all the crew. Who's your favorite so far? And he was like, dude, Frankie's the fucking man. I was like, yes.
Frankie's pissed. I wish he'd do more.
Yeah, me too.
But because he's not around a lot, he's got a great batting average, because when he's around, he's awesome.
It's true. But it's also why I'm like, this is the reason why I'm also like, oh, I wouldn't mind if the Straw Hat crew got separated one more time. Involuntary or involuntary
otherwise. Let's
just
separate Frankie. Let's let Frankie have his own Impel Down and...
Honestly, after One Piece is over, I wouldn't be surprised, like, it's... Because I always get the impression... What do you think, like... I was reading something or watching something, and this guy was like, you know you've got a good character when you know that after the story is said and done, what is this character going to go and do when the adventure is said and done? Because if you can't think of anything, or it's just like, yeah, they're just going to fucking kill monsters forever, maybe that's an answer, yeah. But it's like, I can totally see each and every one of these characters, once this is all done, being like, well, we don't want to be pirates anymore.
We want to be the others now.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, yeah, fuck it, man. We did our thing and everything. And
we want to be the bad guys now.
Yeah, we're in charge. Eventually, like, start putting on the suits and the hats. Like, yeah, we want to... I want to be the one to throw... Usopp's like, yeah, I want to be, like, the fucking fascist this time, Luffy. And Luffy's like, okay, Usopp, whatever you want.
Usopp. What if Usopp did get really twisted and fucked at the end? That'd be kind of... It'd be a negative character arc, but like, it'd be a very powerful one.
Yeah, yeah.
What if Zoro got weaker? What if he became a fucking pussy?
I think that is literally in, like, some of the goddamn alternate universe old people versions, isn't it? Whereas, like, everyone's either getting
fat... Well, no, they didn't become wussy. They just become pieces of crap. But, you know, you're actually correct. Where Frankie becomes a giant warship of evil...
With and, no feeling or like,
and then
care.
And then all the older women, all the characters, the women characters just get shorter hair, and they don't age, and then all the guys just get fat and ugly, and they look like bums.
I kind of imagine that Oda works on Do you know the book The Twits?
Nope.
It's a Roald Dahl book, and I think about this a lot actually, like surprisingly a lot. There's this single line in the book. It's about a dirty old couple that live in a horrible, like, what's the word I'm looking for here? Hoarder house, essentially. They're horrible people, really nasty, ugly people. And there's a single line where it says, you know, no matter how ugly you are, if you think positive and nice things, you will be beautiful. But no matter how pretty you are, if you think horrible, disgusting, spiteful things all the time, you will inevitably be ugly. I just think about that a lot, and I think that's how, like, Oda works in his design philosophy sometimes. That's probably bullshit, because, like, a lot of characters in One Piece are evil and sexy.
Like, half of Sanji's rogues gallery.
yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, One Piece was just absolutely tops this week. I freaking loved it. I can't wait again for next week's chapter.
Yeah, we're eating good. There's really not much to say. We're kind of getting in the twilight of the winter anime season. Feren's ending. That's gonna make a lot of people depressed.
Oh yeah. It'll get another season, probably.
Oh, it will, but it's going to take its time, because Madhouse takes its time.
It's a Madhouse series?
It's a Madhouse series.
Madhouse made something?
They didn't just make something, they made something really good. So
I mean,
happy
I guess
for
they
them.
A couple things. The Gene of AI, My Love Story with Yamada-kun at level 999, Bibliophile Princess. Like, they really, I guess they made Sunny Boy, but like, no one really talked about. I know you loved Sunny Boy, but no one talked about Sunny Boy really.
No, it's a dark horse. It's a.
I think the instant that gem. The instant that I think One Punch Man was basically that last big hurrah for Madhouse. I feel.
Yeah, here's the thing. It was until Frieren. Like they've not had a phenomenon since until now.
Oh yeah, but that's because I feel like a lot of their big fucking animators left or something.
And like the culture around anime is so different since One Piece, like versus Frieren. Like it, like only because the culture changed so much that Frieren works now for Madhouse.
Yeah, I mean that is literally
like Madhouse didn't really do anything. Well, I should say they didn't do anything exceptional. Frieren's a very brilliant production.
They did No Gun's Life, which I thought
and
everyone
it's a great
would love.
Great production, great source material. But again, they've done some good things, like again with Sunny Boy, but those just haven't quite hit. And it's like, well, because now the culture has changed, and they were like, it's just the right place, right time, right alignment of planets for Frieren.
Yeah,
And no, much I need deserved to get to, at the end of the day, too.
I need to sit down and watch Freerun.
You really
so
do?
Bad.
You'd love it.
I've been so bad at watching. Honestly, I don't really dig. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I don't dig the seasonal anime.
Yeah, I know you don't. Fair. We just do it, you know, 8 o'clock p.m. every Saturday at the Joyride server.
Yes. The sneaky invite that I never take you up on.
It's the only way I get to watch anime seasonally and get to... Because it's my job to understand the medium. I have to be up to date on it. And that's my only way I'll get to it. Otherwise, the only anime I watch, like, in my free time, which you've called me out on, is my slice of life. Like, I mean, the only anime I'm looking forward to watching on my own time, the first time in, like, a year or two, is season 3 of Yuru Camp.
Yeah.
Coming up in April in a couple of weeks.
It's nice that we have so much access and such an overabundance of stuff coming out, I guess. But at the same time, it's just too fucking much. And I don't know what it is.
There's way too much. There's way too much.
I am bad at keeping up with just stuff now. Like, I need to get back into, like, just seeing what people are looking at again. Because half the time, I'm like, looking at something for a bit. And maybe I should come to the Joyride freaking anime watches. Because I like watching things like anime socially.
I would say you would have loved this season. Like, this slate we have for this season. So we were doing, like the past two seasons we did were very controversial. There was a lot, we had a voting process because no one could agree on what they wanted. Like, and like, there was just like, again, there's so much. And like, in one week something's good and the next week it's fucking trash. This season, we found our five immediately and did not change on it. We had Solo Leveling, which is probably the only controversial one because, I mean, it's fun. Like, it's Solo Leveling is a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. It's just a guilty pleasure.
Because it's basically everything that every other thing has done.
We have fun riffing on it, and the same that we were riffing on JJK. But JJK is also a quality product on top of that. But like I said, so we watched Solo Leveling, then we watched Frieren, which again, goated. Delicious in Dungeon, very fun in its own way. Undead Unluck, which has been the dark horse. We usually have a rule not to carry seasonal anime across seasons. So like Undead Unluck was fall, but it continued, and we decided not. We treated Frieren differently because it was top quality. With Undead Unluck, we treated it differently because it was so refreshing. It was so different, and we're like, oh, we're still enjoying this. We'll keep it on our slate because we only have so much room. But we didn't want to give it up. And then our number five, we always find a really nice dark horse every season. And this season we found Signs of Affection, which is a shoujo about this deaf girl. And it's very well done. Very charming. And honestly, like everything on here, Val, in some way, you would have found value and to enjoy it. Because you've discussed that you like Undead Unluck. I get Soul Leveling is a very fun, guilty pleasure. Dungeon Meshi are just quality products, and Signs of Affection was just such a surprise. I don't, and I'm dreading this spring season because I don't. It's like I have to curate that list again and find out what hits. Like we've had such a great, we had a decent fall and a great long winter. I'm dreading because I'm looking at this current list and I don't know what's gonna hit. It doesn't seem as good as what we had before.
No. I mean, this is going to be a dud season and everything. You know, I actually appreciate... I realized what I appreciate about Undead Unluck. It's, that show, that manga just immediately says, we're going balls deep at the start and all the crazy things that we're going to do. We're not going to, like, you know, build it up to the last couple fucking, like, chapters. No, this is the entire concept.
So, you know how we've always miffed and complained about stuff like, famously, Red Hood? Where they put their whole freaking bussy right in the front because they know they're getting the axe. I feel like Undead Unluck has always lived by the axe, but like in a way that it enjoys. Like it likes the axe on its neck. Because if you look at its numbers, it does Dr. Stone numbers, where it's always right in the middle. It's never been, it's always the bridesmaid, never the bride, but it enjoys that. So it's always treating every chapter like it's its fucking last. And you see that in the anime.
I feel like that is in the fact that they have a very specific audience that they are catering to.
Well, and it wholly knows
what it is as a story. And
you know, see, like, it knows itself, and it knows that it doesn't just know itself. It knows the medium. It knows the industry, which is very important. Because we talk about how Red Hood had like everything going for it, but it just didn't happen. And then the artist threw a fucking fit at the end. Undead and Luck has always lived every chapter and every episode in the anime like this could be my last, and I'm okay with that. I'm not gonna leave any regrets behind. I don't care if they cut me off and we don't get any satisfying conclusion. The fact that I put it all out there.
I do wonder if they have such a little. I've been so interested in like mangaka avatars, I guess.
Oh, they're little avatar sonas.
Yeah, like I've always noticed them and everything, but like I don't know. I'm annoyed at how much like Akira Toriyama's death has like impacted me. I think. Like I think about it a lot. I've been thinking about it a lot.
We said that
week.
It was dramatic, but like this is the one situation where it's okay to mourn, dude.
No. It's like I'll say it again. I don't like some of the shit that people say about like their connection with it. I see someone being like Akira Toriyama's basically my dad, and it's like, yeah, you're underselling the meaning of what it is to have someone be your fucking dad in saying that.
Well,
I don't
they
like
understand,
that.
But remember, these are fatherless guys. How would they know? How would they know, Val? How would they
I know,
know,
but it's like, nah, I'm
they
just
don't
like,
know.
I'm a
That's not their fault. They don't, it's not their fault they don't
but
have
again,
a dad.
I don't have a dad. I don't fucking like him. Oh, by the way, Ruri Dragon's back. I'm surprised you haven't had anything to say about that.
So here's the issue is I'm struggling keeping up with manga right now. I've only read the return chapter. I have not read up the rest. I am beginning.
I think it's just a return chapter so far.
I'm really busy right now, and I'm hoping that by the end of April, I will have some room in my schedule. And I've been trying to find one day during the weekend to dedicate at nighttime to just read manga. Because I talk about how I try to read. So I use Anime Club to catch up on anime. This podcast, I'm supposed to be keeping up on manga, but I only keep up with My Hero Academia and One Piece, and I don't have any time for anything else because my job is so crazy. Mm. I say I'm getting a little confused right now because I had like a very podcast-esque episode of that Let's Play I'm doing with Ivan Man, and I discussed that there where it's like, oh, I thought going full time on YouTube would give me more time to do the things that I enjoy and keep up things. Nah, it's just more time to do my job because now it's my at home job.
I feel like sometimes it's that can build. I feel like sometimes I can also build resentment and a lack of enjoyment towards the thing. Like, I get paid for voice acting now,
and
I love
reserving in the near future where I'm really going to discuss this.
Oh, you know, yeah,
as
we can
a little teaser
that.
Of that, but we, yeah, we can it's just that, I just yeah. don't have time, and I'm hoping that in the very near future, I'm going to have a little bit more time to get back to this medium that I enjoy the most. I like manga more than I like anime, like leaps and bounds.
I love manga, but I think I'm pretty bad at like. I'm bad at reading a bunch of disconnected stories at the same time. I really do prefer to just get invested in a singular story and read it in bulk. Because I used to do stuff like sit up all night and read a manga in its entirety. If I am that invested in a manga or a story, I will sit there and I will read the whole goddamn lot of it until it is 5 in the morning, and then I will watch the sunrise and I will be like thinking about the story.
Enjoy it while it lasts, Val, because you're gonna get old like me and you're gonna try to do that. I try to read in volumes and like I'll get through one volume. Like, okay, I'm gonna get a couple of volumes of Marriage Toxin in, which I tried the other night, and I got one in and I fell the fuck to sleep. And then Stina freaking wakes me up the next morning and go, oh my gosh, are you coming on Marriage Toxin? I wanna talk about it. I'm like, I passed out near the finish line.
Well,
there was
babe,
left,
babe,
and I couldn't
finish it, babe.
I couldn't do it, darling. Help me, my sciatica was acting up.
Get me my pen. I need to start filling out taxes now.
That's what I also
no
had to do
time
recently.
For manga.
Yep, there was no time for manga, only taxes. But now taxes are taken care of, and that's the nice thing though is my taxes are going to be so much easier now because this was my last year for marking all my side jobs. Like I talk about three jobs. I used to do three jobs before I went full time to get prepared for this life that I'm currently in, and this tax season was the last of that. Next year, only one job, baby, only one bag. I hope I don't go bankrupt.
I hope not either, bud.
But yeah, I think that's all the time we got for this week. We need to shrun, but
we do. This is, it's always a good fucking episode. We had nothing planned, and yet we came up with.
How we promised no news, and then we immediately jumped and then talked about video games for like half hour, and then we're like, okay, now we can talk about the manga.
No, I mean, you know, we've said it before, and
it's
like,
always fun though.
We should probably say it, like, at some point in the near future, like, we're probably gonna wrap up this podcast at some point.
Careful
so
now,
like,
I said we're saving that discussion for later.
Mind the gap as you exit our podcast safely. Rebuild of Joycast is hosted by Ivan Leroy and Valentine Stokes. Leroy's written and directed works can be found on the Joyride Entertainment YouTube channel. Val's dulcet tones can be heard in many of your favorite anime and web series, such as Ruby, Lackadaisy, Gunbuster, Death Battle, and more. Audio engineering by Stina Carey. Music provided by Lo-Fi Geek. Intro and outro narration by Stina Carey. Outro music composed by Michael Payovich. Logo and visuals designed by Ivan Leroy. Keep the conversation going by visiting Joyride's public Discord server, where you can discuss this week's topics and more. Patreon donors also get access to our weekly anime watch club with cast and crew. Links provided in the description. Rebuild of Joycast is produced by Joyride Entertainment and Rock Voice Productions, LLC, and made possible thanks to Patreon donations from generous listeners like you. Thank you for keeping Joyride's engine burning.